Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. Today's guest is author Corinne Michaels. I discovered Corinne's books a few years ago and have been reading her backlist ever since. She has a new book coming out today that's called All I Ask. The book is an emotional second chance romance that kept me engaged to the very end. In this interview, we chat about Corinne's writing process, her journey to get her books published, we dive into All I Ask, and we get around the book recommendations historical romance edition. Now let's get to the interview. Hi, Corinne. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a mom. I have two teenagers, so that's always fun. And I was a former Navy wife for 13 years. And so now I'm still somewhat, joke about it, but like my husband still works for the government, so it really doesn't change very much, other than he doesn't really deploy anymore, which is nice. But I live in Virginia in a really, really, really small town. We are like a big farming area. I do not farm, but the people around me do. And I love reading and writing romance, which is kind of how, you know, I kind of guess I'm here today is just because my love of stories.
I love it. I've been reading your stories for a few years, so it's been nice to get to connect with you. In the process, because it's kind of like you find an author and that you love, and then you read all the backlist, and then you realize it's like where there's more, and you've been good about publishing consistently, which is so nice for a reader.
I love that, you know, like you said, you find an author and you kind of like go through, because I'm the same way as a reader. I like, if I find an author that I love, I devour everything I've written.
Yeah. So what inspired you to become a writer?
I think I've always written. I mean, I can remember when I was in high school, I was probably about 14, 15, and I was going through this like incredibly sad breakup because, you know, like all 14, 15-year-old girls are all horribly heartbreaking. And I remember writing the story of of my breakup and how we met and this whole thing. So I just needed to talk about this. And so I would talk basically to myself because I would drive my friends crazy about my breakup. And so I started writing, but I always wrote more short stories. I never really wrote a novel. Like everything would be done very quickly, you know, guy meets girl, girl breaks heart, guy breaks heart. It's all done. Everybody's fine. I never really got into writing a full novel, but in terms of inspiration, I think that I've just always loved the written word. I grew up with two grandmothers who are librarians and, you know, I grew up reading. Mm-hmm. I love to read. I've always loved to read ever since I was a little kid.
So were you always a romance reader or did you read other genres? What kind of books did you read?
Yeah, it's really funny, but I've always been a romance reader. I've always pulled that way. Even as a kid, I don't get me wrong. I love some other genres and whatever, but I've never really been anything but a romance. There always had to be at the very heart of the story, this very like strong sense of love. There had to be. And my grandma, who I'm named after, my grandma Corinne, she read romance, only romance. Mm-hmm. And so when I was a kid, when we would go and spend, you know, 2 weeks out of the summer with her every year, I would steal her books. And I literally grew up reading Danielle Steele, Nora Roberts, novels. I would go and she would have one on the, you know, in her little area where she kept her books, and I would go take them and read until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
That's yeah. Amazing. I mean, I remember sitting with like the flashlight under the covers reading.
That is amazing. That's an amazing story just to remember, like when you started, like now that you're a romance writer, that you were a romance reader first and foremost. And that
exactly.
it just happened. That's amazing. So what was your journey to get your first book published?
I'm not really sure how to explain my journey. I started off as a book blogger for a romance book blog. And then I started beta reading for some authors that now are, you know, it's amazing how far we've all come. And so when I started beta reading for them, I was still writing my short stories and my, you know, my own things. But I never ever had had any intent on publishing. And it was actually Laurelyn Page who said to me, "Send me what you're writing," because I was starting to write longer short stories, which is a novel. So I was realizing, like, gosh, by now I should be done. And so I sent it after her pushing me to send it to her. I did. And she sent me notes back that probably if I were of today, I probably would have, like, I would have quit everything and just cried. Mm-hmm. But I have this intense desire to, like, prove people wrong. I think she knew that, and she knew that that would push me. And so it did. So the next time I sent her something back, I wanted to make sure all the things that she had pointed out in the first round were not an issue in the second time.
Okay.
And that was really how I started. I had great friends who gave me honest, horrible feedback. And it eventually became my first book because of a lot of hard work and, a lot of learning how to self-edit and revise and take criticism that was not easy to hear. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then when it was done, I was like, all right, well, that's it. I'm not going to publish it. And then they encouraged me to go ahead and publish. So I think that's, you know, I self-published my first, well, pretty much everything up until recently. And so, you know, I feel like that was, you know, that first book though was a lot of determination, and I had zero expectations and I had zero hopes. I just went in like, okay, I'm going to do this because people I trust say that it is a good book and I'm going to hope it is.
Mm-hmm. And it probably was. Someone who's read most of your books, I really enjoy what you have to share. So I got a question, because you published multiple books, I believe, a year. Like, how do you keep that up? Like, how do you keep the writing schedule?
I'm very protective of my writing schedule. I try not to schedule things that I'm going to be doing during my optimum prime hours, because I think every human being has, like, times when they're the most productive. Yeah. And so I've kind of been very, very protective of those hours. I don't go on emails. I try to stay off Facebook and just really work through the words. And so I feel like self-publishing gives us the opportunity to kind of produce more. Mm-hmm. Or produce less. You know, it's really all about what each person is comfortable and wants to do. I don't have a shortage of stories. I just have a shortage of time to write them.
Yeah. Well, thank you for writing. So let's start by writing. Aww. Do you follow an outline, or do you see where the story leads you?
No, I am a total pantser. I don't know. There was once this a graphic that went around, and it was like, which one do you fall into? And so I'm not 100% a true pantser, but I am a very loose pantser. Or an extremely loose plotter. But I know, like, what my main things are. Like, I'll look at a book and be like, okay, I know that she's going to, you know, suffer this horrible fate, or, you know, my couple is going to struggle. Like, these are their flaws that they're going to need to overcome. And I just don't exactly know how I'm going to get there, but I know that that's what's going to happen at some point.
I like it. I like that idea of just knowing a little bit and then allowing the story to unfold. That seems like kind of like the fun game that makes it more writing more interesting.
Yeah. I mean, even the story I'm writing right now, I only know what the big piece is going to be. Like, I know what her big secret is, for example, on this one. And I don't know how they're going to get there, but I know that this something horrible is going to happen and the secret is going to be exposed and that's it. But like right now, the things that have happened thus far, I did not plan at all.
So how do you organize yourself as a writer? How do you keep track of ideas, inspirations, and characters?
I don't organize. I'm so bad. I have like, I don't know, you would laugh hysterically, but I have a note on my like phone, like one of those notes through Apple. And yeah. I just keep like random stupid notes in there. I'm like, you know, like I have like put her on the bus. I don't even know what that means, but like apparently at some point I thought about putting somebody on the bus. That's how I organize. I just randomly like put random ideas on there. So I don't know if somebody's on a bus at some point in one of my books, you know, that it was from a note where I found put her on a bus. Like I am so disorganized in that. But it works for me because when I've tried to plot and like, I have friends who are so amazing with their like details and their spreadsheets and all these things. And here I am like, whatever. I can't do it. I try and my brain does not work that way.
I love it. Do you share your work along the way or do you wait till it's complete for others to read?
Yeah. So I have one beta reader who has been with me since like my second book. Okay. And she's the only one that reads as I write. And she reads in like 10 to 15,000 word chunks. Like I'll send it to her. And all she's looking for me is like plot, character consistency, and does she want to rip her hair out or quit? So, you know, she's tough on me. I mean, we've been friends for a very long time and she does not have a problem telling me, okay, that whole entire thing sucked. Scrap it. You know, I don't always listen, but, I always take her feedback with, you know, like I take it in and say, okay, you know, do I agree or do I want the reader to be angry at this point and saying the same thing she is?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think it's important to that the story flows and there are times where the reader should be angry at the characters and there are times where there should be, you know, the anger is not merit. You kind of like, oh, maybe tweak it around, you know? So it's like,
exactly. There are plenty of times where I write something and in my head, when I'm playing it out in my head, you shouldn't be angry with her. Like you should feel horrible for her, for what she's feeling. Yeah. But sometimes on the page, it doesn't come across that way. And she comes across mean or whatever. And so that's what she really does watch for to make sure, like, she's like, am I supposed to like want to strangle her? And I'm like, no, or yes, you should want to strangle her.
Okay. That's awesome. So let's talk about all I asked. What was the source of inspiration?
Okay. So I don't know if you've ever, if you're a country music fan or not, but I love country music. And so Thomas Rhett came out with that song, Marry Me. And you know, Thomas Rhett's known for this like amazing, beautiful love stories because him and his wife are like the quintessential romance novel. Right. And he came out with Marry Me. And at the end of the music video, I sat there and just stared at the screen like, no, that's not over. No. And so I had a lot of my readers were like, oh my gosh, they're like, Corinne, I think Thomas read one of your books and wrote a book that you would leave you with a cliffhanger. And I was like, I know. I'm like, it's horrible. It's not fair. Like, I don't like how this ended. And so really that was where I started thinking like, God, could you imagine having to do that? Like, what a horrible thing to love somebody so much and watch them marry another. I just, like, I could not get it out of my head. And I felt like there's got to be other people who have experienced this. And what a gut-wrenching thing. This would make an awesome novel story. So the inspiration just really was my frustration at the way that music video ended and how, you know, loving somebody doesn't necessarily mean that you end up with them when you want to.
Yeah.
So all I ask was really my way of saying like, doesn't always have to be right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So much of the theme of the book was about timing, about the relationships, whether, you know, when it's coupled up, when it's not ready, you know, what was it so important to share this theme of the timing and, you know, not being with the person you love, you know, at the right time?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that in life, right? Like, I don't know. And I don't want to get stupid super philosophical, but as a society, I believe that a lot of us are instant gratification. I know I am. I am a Netflix junkie. I want to watch entire seasons and binge. I want it and I want it now, right? Like, I almost feel like so many of us, so many people are like Veruca Salt and they're like, I want it and I want it now. And so I think with All I Ask, the thing is like, you can want it and you can want it now, but it doesn't mean you get to have it. And then you have to find, I feel like you, both Tegan and Derek had to accept that what they wanted at that time, they couldn't have because of the decisions they made. Mm-hmm. And then they had to overcome forgiving both themselves and each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, so when you like, why was it important? I think that like in life, that's important, you know, we have to forgive ourselves. We have to forgive each other. And then we have to be willing to take chances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think we have to be willing to take chances.
Yeah. I think so much is about taking chances, so much about the timing, so much about like how everything unfolded. Like it was just like, it was second chance romance, but it was not a second chance romance. It was just like a really beautiful process of growth for both characters when they come together.
Yeah.
So Tegan is a single mother who has been on her own for a long time, and she struggles to accept help. When Derek comes back to her life, she struggles to accepting him again. What makes Tegan grow in this book? Like, she has a large character arc in this book.
Yeah. So I think what was unique in this story with Tegan and Derek kind of characters and themselves is that she's like the queen, right? Like it's almost like the fall from grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she went through her life never struggling with being accepted or being popular or any of these things. And then her life takes a very significant turn.
Mm-hmm.
And she then goes from being at the top of her mind to mm-hmm. being absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's living in her parents' antique shop. She doesn't make enough money to support herself and in a significant way to get out of the town that she hates. She's forced to kind of face all of her demons every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that what makes her grow is accepting who she is,
mm-hmm.
accepting that she is making the choices to allow this to dictate her life.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like Tegan was really about forgiving not just Derek, she had to forgive everybody. And most of all, she had to forgive herself.
Yeah. Yeah, the biggest of forgiveness to herself is the biggest character growth. I think for her, just to accept, like, you know, what happened and then accept, like, she's going to be okay. And that she can actually, you know, expand and try different things to allow her to grow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that for her, you know, she was so hell-bent to do it on her own, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it was almost like an admission of defeat if she accepted help from other people.
Yeah.
And when she did accept help from other people, she had it thrown back in her face, which is a whole nother separate issue that she had to overcome.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was like a big part of it. Like, you know, the acceptance and the same time, just being able to what she faced on a daily basis and then realizing like, you got to face it. Like she got to just take ownership over it as opposed to holding herself back and keeping secrets and just not sharing what's going on, as opposed to being like, you know, this is shitty. Like, I'm going to deal with it now.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think as women, we often do that. Like we take the brunt of everything around us and we blame ourselves and we take it on ourselves. And then we shut down or we kind of like close ourselves off because it hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. So in this book, you write a couple teenagers or young, you know, late tweens.
Yeah.
And how hard was it to write children in this book?
I don't have, I write children in pretty much every book I have. I love writing kids. I think they add such a richness and dynamicness to the story. If I can write it that way, then and it's natural. I think the kids in this book though were super fun because it's like a reverse parent trap. They hate each other. I mean, they absolutely hate each other and their parents are falling in love. And they want to sabotage that because God, you know, like for them, the absolute worst thing in the world could happen would for them to have to be stepsisters. So, you know, it's kind of fun. It was fun, but it also then I feel like dealt with a lot of some of what I see with my daughter and, you know, and the bullying aspect and what happens, you know, in schools when kids don't like each other and how mean they can be. So I think that might've been the hard part to write was like looking at it from a scope of the mean girl versus the, you know, and the way that it was fun for me in the way that it wasn't hard was that Tegan identified with Everly, who was the mean girl of her time, you know, and Derek, you know, sided with Chastity, who was the nerdy girl who liked animals, who was kind of like, she kept to herself. She was smart. So I thought that was fun to kind of have it like role reversal where you're looking at, you know, for me, it would be like looking at my child who's nothing like me and being like, ugh, what can I do? Like, how do I get her through this?
Yeah. I think it was just, I felt like you'd add richness to the story and like, and it just, it touched upon real subjects that happened and at the same time, like how they go about it, like how parents are dealing with the issue as opposed to just ignoring it or just saying it's going to go away or just ignore
it.
So.
And also you saw, the one scene I enjoyed was when Chastity, you know, has to come to the principal's office. And Tegan's like, what do you mean? Like, not my kid, you know? And because that happens a lot too, right? Like the victim becomes, I don't know how to explain it, but like the victim becomes, you know,
The victim speaks up and maybe getting in hot waters too by trying to.
Yeah,
that was a great scene. I think it shows the levels of parenting, like what you deal with it now, parenting in 2020, as opposed to parenting, you know, 10 or 20 years ago when there was no social media. There was like all these different things that are aspects that are affecting, you know, your relationship with your child.
Absolutely. Parenting nowadays is nothing like what my parents went through. You know, bullying is such on a different scale and things like that. So, you know, for me, it's not hard to write kids because I have kids, and I have teenagers. So it's fun for me to write teenagers because it's real. I mean, they're awful little people sometimes, and they're also can be wonderful. I mean, they can be wonderful, but they, you know, I see a lot of stuff where I'm like, oh my gosh, no.
I hear ya. So what do you love most about writing the story?
I really just loved setting two grown adults who are dealing with true life issues in a situation, you know, where they were forced to face their past and in a way that they both needed to face it too. I mean, I think that both Tegan and Derek truly need each other. And the time that they spent not having each other was difficult for both of them, but in very different ways. Mm-hmm. And I think that in a real relationship with any human being, whether you come back together or you don't, you know, there's a level of empathy that you have to have for somebody else in a situation. And I liked having them both have to lay it all out on the table and be like, this is how you hurt me. This is what it was, you know?
Yeah. So thank you for writing the story and I look forward to reading more of your books. So
thank you.
Now let's go to a round of book ordinations. It's an opportunity for you to share with our audience what they should read next. So what is your favorite genre?
I read historical romance. That is pretty much like 99% of what I read is historical romance only.
Okay, so tell me who are your go-to historical romance authors?
Well, I mean, I think mine are probably like everybody's. Julia Quinn, Lisa Kleypas, Sarah McLean, Tessa Dare. I love Evie Dunmore. She, you know, she's one of my newer ones. Allison McCarthy, if I'm remembering correctly. Oh my gosh, I hope I didn't screw that one up. Her MacLeod series, I absolutely love. Those are like my, I know I have more and I'm totally forgetting them. I love Maya Banks, but it's Allison McLean. Sorry. Okay. And the, like that. Yeah. It's the Sons of Gregor MacLeod.
I'm going to check it out. So I'm a new historical romance reader. Like I started reading that genre, just a year ago and I've been diving into it and I absolutely adore it. So I'm always looking for new authors and new people that I can actually dive into. So
yeah.
Awesome. So what are some of your top three favorite books of all time?
So The Devil in Winter is probably my all-time favorite book.
Okay.
I love me some St. Vincent. I actually just like forced like four of my friends to read it and they're like texting me as they go. It's hilarious. I love In Bed with a Highlander by Maya Banks. I read that one. I like to go back. And I love the Bridgerton series. So I probably, you know, I go back to those a lot. If I only have to pick three, which is really mean to do to me, that would be it. Oh, and I love The Wedding, not The Wedding, The Bride by Julie Garwood.
Ooh, that's okay.
Like one of my favorite books of all time.
I love it. I'm going to pick that one up back. So what was your book that you read this year or last year that you love?
Oh gosh. This year or last year, let me think. Well, I would probably go with Bringing Down the Duke by Evie Dunmore. It was an ARC that I got sent by the publisher, and I absolutely loved it. I really did. I loved it, and it has, like, the best cover, one of the best covers, and she's a lovely person, which, you know, I think is always wonderful when you fall in love with someone, and you're like, she's so great, and she's wonderful. So I really did love that book in the last year. That would probably be one of my top recommendations.
Yeah, I really love that book. I read it as an ARC and it was just great. And I can't wait for the next book that's coming out. And I'm like,
I know.
Read the preview and I'm like, this is great. So.
And it was such a great, like, it was different. It was different. And I think that's why I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, like, it was a different historical moment. So it was just like, it felt contemporary, but at the same time, it was historical. So I really love it.
And I felt like it was almost more Mary Poppins-esque era for me, which is what I loved the most about it. It was like the woman suffered. Like, I could totally picture the mom from Mary Poppins wearing the sashes.
Yes. Oh my gosh, great. So tell us where we can find you online.
I'm everywhere. Obviously Facebook, I have like, I'm really active in my Facebook group, which is Corinne Michaels Books. Mm-hmm. And then I'm on Instagram all the time too. So I'm Facebook and Instagram is pretty much where I live. You know, and then of course I have my website, but my newsletter is also the other second best way to get in touch with me for sure.
Awesome. Thank you, Corinne, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.